Lord, you're wonderful. You're wonderful right in the midst of an evil and a perverse generation. Yet you show yourself big and strong because that's what you are. Lord, you're almighty. You're not mighty. You're almighty. And there's nobody like you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad that every promise in this book is mine. Every word is true. It's not changed. And I long to see you face to face. Lord, I understand full well that I'm nothing. Use me this morning as you see fit. Cleanse me from anything and everything that I've left in a hole somewhere in my heart that I've not come clean with you. Father, I'm sorry this morning. Show me and clean me, I pray. Use me as you see fit, not as I want to be used, but as you want to use me. I'm your servant this morning. Lord, I pray that the word of God will speak to our heart. Please, oh God, change us this morning, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name, and amen. This is July the 2nd already. Life is but a vapor here, and but for a little season, and then vanisheth away. This is our Liberty weekend, we might say. People's off work, and there'll be fireworks. They'll probably start fireworks today. And there'll be fireworks today and tomorrow and Tuesday, and all that's wonderful. I'm glad. I like fireworks. I like to watch it on, they always have a Channel 9 on that PBS station. They always have a big thing that I like to watch. And they bring all the military out and they do all that fireworks. I love to watch all that. But I'm glad for my liberty this morning. Don't know about you, but I'm glad for the way it is. Now, the sad part is our country today is not the way it started. It's not that way anymore. And the liberty that we used to have, we don't have. And it's slowly fading away. Slowly fading away, and y'all know, I don't have to tell you, you know I'm patriotic, I love my country. I'm afraid our country is dying, and I'm afraid it's terminal, and I'm afraid there's no, even though there is a remedy, I don't believe it's going to take, I don't believe the country's going to take the medicine. I believe we're going to leave it on the shelf, and I believe our country is dead. I believe that. I'm still going to pray for it, and I'm going to stick by it as a doctor would a dying patient. But I believe our country is shot. Don't be mad at me for that. But I believe we've done compromise too much. I believe we've compromised the principles of the republic, and we call ourselves a democracy. I don't know about you, but I don't like democracy. I don't know about you. We don't know what it is anymore, but I don't like democracy because, see, a democracy, y'all can vote and come take my house from me, and I don't have nothing to say if enough of you vote about it. But a republic, it's mine, and I bought and paid for it, and it's mine. It belongs to me, and you can't touch it. That's where we're supposed to be, is a republic of the United States. Just so you know, you ain't supposed to vote on everything. Just so you'll know. And Baptist churches has got really bad about that as well. And, you know, voting on light bulbs and toilet paper and things like that. And, nevertheless, we've flushed our liberty. That's what we've done. We flushed it in our country. And what's sad is it's from enemies without. That's bad. But the enemies within the country is what's destroyed the country, then enemies within. And then I look at our, now don't get me wrong, now I still love my country, don't get me wrong. And I'm still going to stand for it and fight for it, but I'm afraid it's, I'm afraid we're just going to bide some time till Jesus comes. They gathered up at the Alamo, and waited on reinforcements, but they all died. And I believe we're in our Alamo, and we're going to go ahead and fight till we all die. But there's reinforcements coming. King's going to come someday. He's going to come. And that's just my thoughts about that this morning. Just want you to know. But I look at the church, and I see that we don't have the same liberty of church that we used to have either. I look at our country and it saddens me. It saddens me to read history about our, about the sacrifices that was made for us to have the country that we have and to live where we have. And it is a great place to live, no doubt, in a lot of ways. But I'm afraid that it's been compromised away, as I said. But now I look at the liberty in the church house and the liberty that the church once had within its ranks, within itself, has been compromised away as well. And not from just enemies without, but from enemies within. And I believe it's a sad thing. I do. I believe it's a sad thing that we don't have that liberty. This is not the entire message, but I do want you to turn to Galatians 5. See, I believe it's time we're going to have to make some changes. I'm not going to quit praying for America, but I don't believe America can be salvaged. Hear me this morning. I do believe that Nicholas County can be salvaged and Fayette County, Braxton County. I believe Mountain State Baptist Church can still be salvaged and be used of God. I believe it. I don't know what all else is going to happen, but I know that if we'll turn to God and walk with God and live for God, that we can be salvaged right here. And we don't have to be with like them out there. And we don't have to be like everybody else, but we can come back to God right here, and they can still be a little ray of hope if we're willing to stand and to do it. And I believe it's possible. If I look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now, Paul's writing to a church here who wants to get law and mingle law and grace in and try to go both ways. And he plainly says we better stand fast with the liberty that we've been given by Christ. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if nobody else does, Mountain State Baptist Church needs to stand with the liberty that Christ has given us. And by that standing, we can help our home and our community, our county, and the surrounding areas. Now, I don't know if the state's salvageable or not. I don't believe, I hate to say that, but I want us to understand, I don't believe my country's salvageable. Because people ain't going to turn to God. But I do believe our church can be salvageable. I believe our home can be salvageable. I believe your home and my home can be salvaged for the cause of Christ. But it's still the same remedy that we're going to have to come the way of Christ. But I'm afraid we're not going to do it as a nation. But boy, if we can just do it as a home. If we can just do it with us right here. Then surely, surely it'll do a little good. Are you hearing me this morning? All right, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, don't nobody get me wrong. I'm not against our country. I'm just telling you the way I look at it. You can't turn the Capitol in Washington, D.C. a rainbow color in June and walk with God. Okay? You can't do that. Amen. So I just don't see much hope for our country. Alright? When we kick the Bible out of the library and let a transgender come and read other stuff to our school kids, we got a problem. And that's not the message. I'm just wanting you to understand why I think our country's sunk. Okay? All right. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty." Listen, I like liberty. I like freedom. Y'all like freedom? I like freedom. I like freedom in my country, and I like freedom in the church house, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Everybody understand that? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Well, can I go ahead and tell you that I'm saved this morning. And I got the Holy Spirit of God living in my heart. Therefore, I have liberty. I have liberty. Nobody can dictate to me about my liberty in Christ. But I can't compromise. No man can force me. But I can compromise. Nobody forced our country to walk away from God. But men and women compromise. Nobody has forced the church of God to walk away from God. But men and women have compromised. And the liberty is taken slowly away. Nobody can dictate to your home. I believe you men here this morning will stand at the front door with a rifle, and they're not going to dictate your home. I believe you're that kind of man here this morning. Huh? But yet you and your wife can compromise. You and your wife can compromise and invite him in. Australia was a strong country and a big supporter in World War II, World War I. They've always been a supporter of right and everything. But you know, the people willingly got in line and give them their guns, and they put them in dump trucks and dumped them out and had a steamroller roll over top of all of them and crush them and destroy them. And they done it willingly. They compromised. They compromised. Are they still good people? Sure, they're great people. Sure, they're great people. But they compromise. Can I tell you this morning? Now listen, that'll be getting in our message here in a moment. Listen to me. Our liberty can't be taken from us, but we can be compromised till it vanishes away. Are you hearing me? But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Turn to Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and verse 45. Psalms 119 verse 45, it says, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." I believe maybe this word of God, this Bible, has something to do with my liberty in the Lord. I believe that myself this morning. But Paul wrote to the church and said, we're going to have to do something. So I'm going to call on you this morning, church. I'm going to call on you, men and women who are here at Believe and even don't believe. I'm going to call on you to stand this morning. I'm going to call on you to not give up, not to compromise on the Word of God. Look in Ephesians chapter 6, and let's start reading verse 10, then we'll give you a few thoughts here this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." I believe it's time we stand. Now, I've been preaching for a few weeks on the home, and that's where we're going with this morning. I don't believe our country's going to stand anymore. I don't believe they will. I believe they've done compromised and washed out and sold out. I believe that's why our senators and congressmen are all millionaires and letting people starve to death and veterans go hungry on the street, and they're making their millions. I think it's ungodly. I think it's crooked. I think they're all liars. I think every one of them's a liar. Myself, I think every one of them's evil, and I think every one of them is being used against God instead of for us. Now, that's just my opinion, and you can take it or leave it. That's just the way I feel about it, because I see nothing godly about it. If you don't see nothing godly about somebody, there's probably no godly in them. If you don't see nothing Christian about somebody, there's probably no Christian in them. If you don't see no Bible in somebody, they probably ain't no Bible in them. And I just got enough sense to see that. You know, if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, walks like a duck, I doubt it's a chicken. I believe it'd be a duck. All right? And I believe that's the way of the country. I believe we're in a sad shape and we've turned against God. Well, our state ain't no better. Oh, it's almost heaven, West Virginia. Oh, God, I hope heaven ain't nothing like West Virginia. I hope even the outskirts. I hope ain't none of it like West Virginia. Huh? God help us if it is. You hearing me? But I'm here to tell you, I don't believe our state's going to do much either. Huh? You can't keep electing crooked people and putting them to rule the state. Huh? Now our county, we're running low on backbone in our county. Huh? We're running low on our backbone in our county and our school system. We're running low on the backbone in our county and in our school system. We're running low on backbone in our county. In Nicholas County, in Fett County, in Braxton County, in Clay County. Running low on backbone in our county. Huh? In our school system. We're running low on it. Backbone. Huh? I'm going to make sure you hear me this morning. We're running low on backbone. Hey, we're running low on backbone in the church. We allow everything to happen in our country, everything to happen in our state, everything to happen in our county. Now we're getting to where we want everything to happen in the church house, and we accept everything. What it is, it's the devil wanting us to compromise. The world wants us to compromise. They call the compromise, can I tell you? And it's come down to the home, to where the home is asked to compromise. To where, as I've been preaching about our discipline of our children and our teaching of our children. And can I tell you that if I would gather up all your kids and all the kids downstairs in junior church and send them here and start asking them what happened on July the 4th. And what I doubt that very few of them could tell. The homeschoolers with the Abeka program probably could. But I don't know if any of the rest of them can. If they're just public school, they probably don't even know how to read a calendar to know when the July the 4th is. And I'm not being mean, but they can't use a watch if it ain't got numbers. They don't know how to set a clock. They don't know, and the Lord knows they don't use an alarm clock because they don't work anyhow. But nevertheless, hear me today. We've compromised down to our home, and I know, but you shouldn't say that. Well, somebody needs to say it because moms and dads ain't going to say it, and teachers ain't going to say it, and it's time that somebody goes ahead and says we're going to have to stand for something instead of compromising for everything. They come into the home, want you to compromise. They come into the church. You know that I am an enemy to a lot of people because I've not changed.
Amen.
Do you know that? I'm not changed. So I'm the one that's causing division. I'm having trouble computing that. I'm still on this in the same wagon I was in, but I'm causing trouble all these other ways. Well, everybody needs to get in my wagon then. Everybody says you rub the fur the wrong way. Then turn the cat around. Because I'm going to rub the same way.
Yes, amen.
And I'm not compromising the Bible. And I'm not compromising the Word of God and the stand of God. I'm not compromising worldly Christians, worldly attitudes, sinful actions in the church house. I'm not compromising that. I'm not going to do it. Okay? Just want you to know that. It's got to, but it's going to have to start down at the house. It's going to have to start down at 145 Deets Road, Mount Lookout, 26678, where it's going to have to start. It's going to have to start with Mark D. and Cheryl A. Sequist. And then needs to come to the church house. Are you hearing me? We're going to have to stand. We'll have to stand. Turn to Exodus. We're going to preach out of Exodus this morning. We're going to preach about compromise. Compromise in the home. We've got compromise in our country. Huh? We got some of the most wicked people in our country, running our country. And guess who put them there? God's people. Huh? We got wickedness in our state. Huh? Surely, nobody in this building anyway, surely y'all don't think the government cares about you. Surely, no, you don't think the state cares about you. Surely nobody here that thinks that. If you do, then you're beyond my help. I'm hoping this is a stronghold. That's what I'm hoping. But we're asked to compromise everything. Satan offers a compromise when it comes to serving God. Satan offers a compromise when it comes to worshiping God. Satan offers a compromise, and many are taking it. Many are. You know? And let me tell you, our souls is what's at stake. Our family souls at stake. That's what's going on this morning. Turn and look in Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. Now we know the story. Now everything written in the Old Testament is written for my example. Is that not what the Bible said? Is that not what Paul said to the church of Corinth? It's written for my example. So when I think about the home, and I think about where it all starts, see, it ain't the church that's the problem. It's our hearts. Down our home is the problem. We've compromised in our heart and down at the house. And now it's coming to the church. And then it goes from the church to the county. Yes. From the county to the state. The state to the federal government. Yes. But it started in our heart. Down at the house. If I look at Exodus chapter 1 verse 8. When it speaks of Egypt and Pharaoh, always remember it's type of sin and Satan. And in verse 8, in Exodus chapter 1, verse 8 says, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt which knew not Joseph." Can I tell you that Joseph's a type of Christ? And there's kings that rule that don't know him. There's leaders that don't know him. And the leaders that don't know him will ask you to compromise. And the people that don't know him will ask you to compromise. Are you hearing me? Now that's just normal. And the children of Israel, we know the children of Israel were invited guests to Egypt. In Joseph's day, the Pharaoh said, "Joseph, go get your family and you bring him here and we're going to take care of them." And they were invited guests. Lifted up and exalted and invited guests to do right. To be right. To be an influence. And they've done that for many years. Until they started multiplying and people got scared. The same way with church. Same way with their home. Same way with church. You know, a lot of people get scared when church is growing. When the church starts growing, starts building, then people get scared, and the first thing you do, then there's things that happen that makes the church compromise. Or attempt to get the church to compromise. Were you listening? Alright? And it's to destroy things. So the children of Israel were there, and they started growing, so Pharaoh and his men got together and said, "We got to do something, or there are going to be more of them than they are us." That sounds like a country Baptist church, don't it? Yeah. Better watch all them visitors coming. They'll have more vote than we do. I've done seen too many churches in that shape right now. Amen. Huh? We okay? And if you read Exodus, what it says. It said there are going to be more of them than they are us. And we're going to lose our power. Yeah. We're going to lose our authority. All right? Look at verse 11. Now, any time compromise comes from the enemy, all right? When it comes time for you to get saved, when God's dealing with your heart to get you to get saved, or after you first get saved, then things starts happening. And look at verse 11. "Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses." Think about that. The enemy will make it harder on those who are supposed to be doing right. Is that not true? Yeah. Wanting to compromise. Maybe you're not saved this morning. Maybe you're not saved and God's been dealing with your heart. And since God's been dealing with your heart, I bet you I can tell you what's been going on. Things have been harder at home. Things have been harder on the job. Everything's been falling apart. Because God's drawing you to do right, and the enemy is starting doing things to you, making your labor harder and your task harder and your life harder. You that are saved, maybe just a young Christian, and you want to step out for God. And right when you step up to do something, what happens? Here comes the taskmaster. And he puts more labor on you and puts more heartache on you and tries then to make all your service and labor done with rigor. That means with complaint and misery and coldness and everything. Look on down to verse 14. It says, they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Is that not how the Lord does? Try to step up. Try to step up and do a little better in the church house. Try to step up and do a little better in your home. Try to start family devotion. Try to start reading your Bible with your family. What's going to happen? Well, your dog's going to get sick. You're going to, hot water heater's going to bust. There's going to be a sickness in your family. The telephone's going to ring. You're going to have to start working overtime. All kinds of things that the enemy is going to come trying to get you to back off and compromise instead of doing right. And it happens every time. It happens with those who ain't saved under conviction, and it happens with the Christians who want to do. Are you following me this morning? It's the call of compromise from the enemy down to the home. That's what I'm telling you this morning. If I was to be asked to reference somewhere else, I bet y'all's week's been good in some ways. I bet it's been horrible in others because y'all took a stand last week. I bet there's things coming through your mind. There's been some battles you didn't think you was going to fight. I guarantee you there was. There's battles. And that whole row there is the one we're baptizing next week. Ain't that a blessing, that whole bench? Y'all raise up, just wave at me. Wave at me. Ain't that wonderful? I can't wait till next Sunday we baptize that whole bench. All right. But you know that every Sunday morning, there's a call for me to compromise. I fought it this morning. I started calling a replacement this morning. I did. I didn't feel good. I don't feel good now. Huh? I started calling a replacement. I planned last night to call in a replacement for tonight. And I wasn't even here yet. Huh? Compromise. Call. The call to back off. The call. Huh? The service. It's with rigor, with complaint and heartache and bitter and all these things. Can I tell you? It's the same way right now. Satan's always trying to get us to compromise against God. Are you hearing me this morning? His people, lost people, only wants to make it worse on your life. How many, even since revival maybe, how many said, I'm going to step up and have radical faith? Did anybody make that commitment? Hold your hand up if you made that commitment from the night Dennis Legg preached on. Well, sure, I figured it'd be more than that. That you was going to make a commitment to have radical faith. Huh? I bet you money that your faith got weaker. Because you stepped out and done it, and then you've been smacked in the face. Huh? Well, the Lord didn't smack you. He didn't do it. Who you think's trying to get you to back off? What are you going to have to do? You're going to have to stand. Huh? I don't know about y'all. I don't know about you fellas. Now, I'm just going to go out on a limb. I don't know about y'all, but I hate to be pushed. Y'all hate to be pushed. Any of you men hate to be pushed? You know? I mean, it just kind of rubs me wrong. You know? Now, I don't have no problem following orders. I don't have no problem with that. Man, just don't push me. There's a grit that's inside of me. I just can't take it. Then why do I do it when the enemy comes? Because My battles are not with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities. That's what I just read in Ephesians. Was it not chapter 6? Is not what Paul said? To put on the whole armor of God. And it's not this. It's this. It's this. Okay? We still okay? Now listen, I'm going to give you four things real right quick. All right? Don't you hang with me. All right? Now, when I read in Exodus and I read about Moses and Pharaoh and everything, and I want you to listen carefully. Now, we're just talking about examples. Everybody still with me? When I read the Old Testament, it's an example for me now. All right? Moses stood before Pharaoh as God. Aaron stood before Pharaoh as a prophet. Because he repeated what Moses told him. Okay? When they went before Moses, Moses told Aaron, Aaron told Pharaoh. Okay? Everybody follow me? And Pharaoh was again Moses. He never did tell Aaron to shut up. He told God. He told Pharaoh. And that's what the world does. The world don't tell the preacher to shut up. They don't want to hear God. You follow me? Now, do I need to say, everybody still with me? So when Moses and Aaron went before Pharaoh, they wanted their people to be freed. That's God's plan. God's plan is for everybody under the sound of my voice to be at liberty in Him. Stand there in the liberty that we've been given through Jesus Christ. That's His plan. Everybody agree? That means where the Spirit of the Lord is, I have liberty. That means I can worship. I don't have to be in church. My Bible ain't tied to the pulpit with a chain. I can pray. I can pray. You can't stop me from praying. You can't stop me from praising. Huh? Cut my tongue out. Cut my arms off. Put my eyes out. It don't matter because it's in my heart. And he said, well, I'll kill you. Well, I'm in His presence and I'm able to praise Him even more. Amen. See, you can't stop me.
That's right.
Think about that. Amen. That's the liberty that I have in Christ. And it was given me when He died for me on Calvary, and I repented and trusted Him in faith believing. Hear me this morning. They can't take it from us.
That's right.
And He said, stand. But I need it down at home. I got to have it down at the house before I can have it up to the church house. Are you hearing me? The church is never going to be no more spiritual than what you are in private at home. You hear me? Now it might be emotional at church, but it'll never be more spiritual than it is at your house when you're by yourself. That's why He said, stand with that liberty that was given us in Christ Jesus in her heart. We okay? Now, let's go on. Now, when Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, they told him, said, now listen, here's what we want you to do. We want you to let us go, and we're going to go 3 days' journey thereabout, and you just leave us alone. Just leave us alone. We'll go out there. Well, Pharaoh said, no, it ain't going to happen. So, God had already hardened his heart. If you read the scripture, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. All right. Now, the reason he hardened it, because he's going to judge him. And understand this, everybody that's against God is going to be judged. Everybody that's against God is going to be judged. Some way or another. So what did start happening? Moses and Aaron, they started putting out, the plague started, right? We all know about the plagues. And every plague was again a god of Egypt. It started with the water turning to blood. And the Egyptians worshiped the Nile. That's what they worship. So the first judgment was against the water. All right. Then you got lice and you got flies. These are all gods of the Egyptian. Frogs. They worship frogs. Right? We know the darkness. I'm just going to give them to you. I ain't going to give them to you in order. I'm just giving you. We know that. All the things that they judged, that Moses and Aaron judged, were the gods of Egypt. Now, the very first thing that Moses told Pharaoh, he said, Israel is my only son. And because you're against my only son, I'm going to take your only son. That's what he said first. Y'all remember reading that? So what was the last plague? That they took the first son where the blood wouldn't apply. So that was a promise to God. God's already done it before anything ever happened. We still okay? Now, what I want to talk to you though is about compromise. The judgment came and the stand was taken with Moses and Aaron on behalf of the children of Israel. And Pharaoh said, well, let's compromise. Let's compromise. Well, let's see if we can find them right quick and we'll let you go home, all right? Let's look in Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. You with me okay? Is everybody following me okay? We're talking about standing in liberty in the home. But I'm going to show you what the enemy is doing to us in Exodus chapter 8. We could read the whole chapter. I'm not going to read it. You read it sometimes. And it seemed like, there'll be judgments and a couple judgments would come to all the people, the Egyptians and the Israelis all. And then the last one would just be on the Egyptians. And then there'd be some and there'd be for all. And then the last one, next one would not be on the Israelis, you know. They've shown a difference that God was in control. That God was pinpointing judgment. That God had the last say. I want you to listen to me this morning. I want the devil to listen to me this morning. He can listen and know this. He's a liar. And he's a loser. And God's got the last say. I don't have the last say. God's got the last say. And the only thing I hope is when everything's done before he chunks him over into the lake of fire that he lets me drop kick him one good time for all the punishment he's caused me and I can give him a holy kick. That's the only thing I would wish out of anything. But he's loser anyhow. Huh? But let's look here in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 25. I think it's 25. Let's see here. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. In other words, go ahead and do it where you're at. Worship in the world, but don't go to church just now and then. You know, you hear it all the time. I don't have to be a Christian and go, I don't have to go to church. I can do it at home. We okay? I can serve God at home just as well as I can church. That bunch of hypocrites up there. Huh? That's what I hear. I heard it. I hear it. Huh? I've heard it for years. Well, let me just ask some of y'all that's been shut in. How good's it been at home? Which is better, home or church?
Church.
Church is better? Church is better?
Amen.
You mean all that other lies they've been telling?
Amen.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's how it's been when I've met. Huh? We okay? Oh, I'm just close to God. But no, you're not. That's a lie. You've sucked into the compromise of the world and Satan.
Amen.
Huh? Just go ahead and worship in the world. You don't have to. Don't change. Don't have to worry about change. Huh? That's the first compromise. Just keep reading. You'll find it there. Worship in the world. Go to church every now and then, you know. Be a little religious. Huh? How about drop down to verse 28? And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice. Now, understand, if they had sacrificed and not left Egypt, the Egyptians would have stoned them because the sacrifices that they was going to be killing was the gods that the Egyptians worshipped. Now you allow that they was going to let that happen? Huh? It's like that today in the world. You got to get out of the world. If God saves you, you'll get out of the world. If you don't get out of the world, then God didn't save you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now look here in verse 28. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. Now you can go, but don't go far. Don't be, fanatic. Don't go. Don't start that stuff every time a door is open. Don't start that stuff reading your Bible and praying. Oh Lordy, don't start that stuff putting tracts in your pocket to give away. Oh, don't start that stuff singing them old praise songs. You know, them worship songs. You know. Them don't go far. Worship in the world, don't go far. Join the church, but don't be faithful. Can I tell you, they couldn't ever reach Canaan, which is a type of the fulfilled Christian life, if they hadn't went far. If you're not willing to go far, you're probably not going to reach what God's got planned for you. Are you ready to go? How far are you ready to go? Now, how close am I so far? We got people who want the Lord, but they don't want to get out of the world. You know, nobody wants to go to hell. Everybody's going to heaven. In fact, we'll just go ahead and tell them everybody's going to go to heaven. Nobody goes to hell no more. And I've compromised there. There's people I've preached over, and when they died, I know they went to hell. Now, I know that we always want to stretch out a little bit of hope, but you can't live like that and go to heaven. You can't talk like that and do that to everybody and then go to heaven. You just can't do it. But we try to soothe the family and compromise a little bit and say they're okay. No, they're not. Let me tell you something. Our families, majority of our families are lost. There's lost here this morning under the disguise of church membership. There's lost here this morning under the disguise of good works and good attitude. This morning at Mountain State Baptist Church, you're lost. And I know that's not popular. Verse 28 says, I'll let you go. Satan says, I'll let you go. I'll let you live. But just don't go far. Don't go far. Join the church, but that's it. That's enough. That's enough. How about flip over to chapter 10? We still okay? Y'all with me? Just understand. I just want you to understand. Acts chapter 10. How about, let's start about verse 8. We okay? And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that's going to go? Verse 9 says, and Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, and with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks, and with our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it, for evil's better. Now, not so. Now that ye that are men and serve the Lord. No, you don't go and take your families. You older people go. You old people go. Your older ones go. The men go. Because Pharaoh said, no, not so. Leave your kids here. Da-da! That's where we're at today. Yeah. We forgot our children. We don't have our children with us. We let them go to the world. We let them sleep in the world, act like the world, walk like the world, talk like the world, look like the world, do what the world does, and we've lost them. Now, we've ridiculed those who have been tight and sheltered their kids and said, "You shelter them and they'll go right out." Well, I see some and they never went out. Maybe this wasn't sheltered in the right hole. Let the old ones go. Let us old ones go. Let us all of us old ones. We'll serve the Lord, you know. We're that different generation. We still okay? Y'all hearing me this morning? I still just got a rule in my house. Y'all have rules at your house. I got rules at mine. You live under my roof, you go to church. Stay with me, you go to church. Sleep in my bed, you go to church. Everybody's welcome to come stay. We go to church on Sunday. We go to church on Sunday night. We go to church on whatever midweek service is. But we're going to go. We're going to go. You're not going to send your kids. If you've got a bunch of kids, leave me. All of you going. That's my rule. If you don't like him, just don't go stay somewhere else. I'm not being mean. You're welcome. Let me tell you what we've done. We've done compromise so much that everything's okay. And we've lost our children. You know why? Because of compromise. Because of compromise. Huh? And then it makes it hard on the men. See, Moses knew that if the men went and not the wife and kids, that they wouldn't be gone long. Pharaoh knew that. Because although maybe some men mean my other wife, you can't live with them maybe, but you can't live without them. And you'll be back. You'll be back. Are you hearing me this morning? Now, I know you can hear me audibly. Or should I say, I was talking to a young lady last Thursday, and I was talking to her about her soul. And I was telling her, I said, "Do you understand we're praying for your husband?" And she said, "Yes, and I thank you." I said, "But I'm praying for you too, because you're as lost as he is." Like, and I said, "You are. You're as lost as he is." I said, "Your lifestyle is the same. Your mouth's the same. Your attitude's the same. You have nothing to do with God. Have nothing to do with the Bible. Have nothing to do with prayer. You're lost." I said, "Are you listening?" She said, "I hear you." I said, "I know you hear me. Are you listening?" See, I know we hear this morning. And I'm not being smart aleck or sarcastic, but I don't know. I'm just tired of... how would I say? I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to let you. You got to know. We got to know. I got to know. If I ever have to prove my love to you, then I'm already, my ministry's wasted here. I give you 19 years of the best years I got. So if my love for you is ever misunderstood, then I have failed miserably. But I can't pat you on the back and your family's on the back and our county on the back and our surrounding counties and our state and say everybody's okay. I can't do it. I won't do it. I'm wrong. You're wrong. We're wrong. God's right. God's right. Let's look one more and I'm going to quit. We still okay? Now, if you want a New Testament scripture, that turn over to Matthew chapter 10 right quick. Matthew chapter 10. Everybody still with me? Matthew chapter 10. I'm preaching for our home. You understand? I'm not preaching against your home. I'm preaching for our homes. I'm preaching for dads, and I'm preaching for moms, and I'm preaching for children, and I'm preaching for papas and mamas. I'm preaching for us that we might stand in this evil day.
Amen. That's good.
Because everybody around us is fallen.
Yeah.
Huh? Matthew chapter 10. Let's look at verse 36. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. Is that not true? He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. We got to go together. Are you hearing me? We okay? Everybody understand me this morning? Listen. Listen to me. I love my family. My family here this morning, Cheryl, Daryl Mooney, Trista. That's my family here this morning. I love y'all. Y'all know I'll give you everything I got, I'll die. But I'm not going to back up on this Bible for none of you. Not for none of you. I'm not going to do it. I'm for you. I'm not against you. I'm for you as my church family. I'm for you.
Amen.
You understand that? I'm for your children.
Yes. Thank you.
I'm for your grandchildren.
Yes.
I'm for you this morning.
Yes.
Huh? And I've got to stand. I've got to give an account. Huh? And don't take this wrong, but I can't be concerned about your feelings. I can't be, well, that's offensive. He that loveth thy word shall not be offended. If you're offended, you're not right. Because I'm not trying to offend you. Huh? We still okay? Let's look at one more. Let's drop down to verse, and we're in Exodus chapter 10. I'm going to quit. Exodus chapter 10, verse 24. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, now, we remember our three compromises, don't we? Already? Do everybody remember them? The first compromise was going to get saved and but stay in the world. You know, worship but still just be in the world. Don't come out. Don't change. Don't come out from among them. Be ye separate, as the Bible said. Huh? Don't, you know, that's taboo in a Baptist church. You know, holy rollers and some of them preach holiness. They'll do that. You know, come out from among them. Be ye separate. But if Baptists do it, then we're fanatics. We're legalists. Huh? See, Methodists and Nazarenes and Pentecostals, they come out of the world. They say they come out of the world because they're taught holiness. The Baptists ain't taught holiness. They're taught pride. Maybe June ought to be Baptist month. Exodus chapter 8. Worship is in the world. That's the compromise. Stay in the world. The second compromise. Don't go far. Just stay. Just join the church and don't go no further. Huh? The third compromise, just the men, just older men, just older people do. Don't take our families. And let's look at verse 24, Exodus 10, 24. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord only. Let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifice and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind. For therefore must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. Now the compromise is Pharaoh says, all right, go ahead and go, but leave your stuff. Leave your stuff. You go ahead and go, but leave your stuff. Moses said, no. We're going to go, and we're going to take all we got. We're going to take our wives and our children and our grandchildren, and we're going to take our cattle, We're going to take our possessions and we're going to go ahead and just take some of yours too. And we're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to drop our stock in Anheuser-Busch. We're going to check our portfolio and stop all of our money sending to the liquor industry and the pornography industry and anything that's bringing us gain from the world. Huh? It's all or nothing is what he's saying. That's what Pharaoh said. No, you go, but leave your stuff. Moses said, no, we're going and we're going whole hog. And what we need today is men and women, homes, moms and dads, that let's go ahead and go whole hog. You say, well, is there any scripture with that? Yeah, there is. How about Matthew chapter 6? Cheryl, go to piano, please. How about Jesus paid it all, Clark? All to him I owe. Matthew chapter 6. I love y'all this morning. I hope you know that. Matthew chapter 6 verse 21. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's why Moses told Pharaoh, we can't leave our stuff back here. You got to take your stuff with you. Because let me tell you where your heart's at this morning. Everybody look this way. I hate to say it, but our heart's in our stuff. Our heart's in our stuff. So if you ain't going to get rid of your stuff, just go ahead and give your stuff to the Lord. How about that? Huh? See, we're like that old guy said he had two cows and they each was having calves. He said, honey, said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give the Lord one calf and I'm going to take the other. We'll raise that and sell it for the Lord. He come in one morning and said, I got bad news. The Lord's calf died. You got that, didn't you? How about that? How about we dedicate our children again to the Lord? You know, we ain't had a baby dedication in years. You know why? Because when I started dedicating the babies, all the dedication comes to the parents. And you notice we ain't dedicated a baby since we've been in this church. Did you notice that? Because all the responsibility we put on, we didn't do no Christian, none of some of that fancy Catholic stuff. We just... face mom and dad and we quit giving our kids to the Lord. Just saying that's where we're at now. Why don't we just go ahead and give it all? How about take the world and just give me Jesus, the liberty in my country, all them men and women who fought in the Revolutionary War. They were rich and they died paupers. And they give away everything, sold everything, sacrificed everything they had for liberty. I wish we had some moms and dads this morning that have sacrificed everything they had for liberty in the Holy Ghost as Christ has provided for us this morning. The invitation is however God deals with you this morning. Father, I ask you to help us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.